The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Ladies and gentle nerds, it is time to play the Answer of the Week. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. It's your favorite show on the internet, but I can't do it alone. I got this buddy. His name's Joe Patrick.
I am Joe Patrick.
He's sitting right across me right now. We are about to enjoy the cocktail of the week. From now on, we'll be introducing a new cocktail. I am the Ziggurat mixologist, and I'll whip up a little something and put the recipe in the notes for the show so you can drink along while you listen to the show. This week, I'm calling it the Banshee after the Phantom Rider's horse. Not Sean Cassidy, but the Phantom Rider, the original Ghost Rider. He rode a white horse, and it shrieked like a banshee.
Chin, chin. Ooh, that's smooth.
Right? Smooth, sweet, and then a little bitterness in the very end. Right?
It's good.
2 ounces of bourbon, 1.5 ounces of orange juice, 1 ounce honey, and 1/2 ounce of triple sec. Finished with just a little bit of pale ale over the top. This is a bourbon and beer cocktail. Here's what we do on the Answer of the Week. Every week, we put up the question. Joe puts up the question, that is. You can go to the THN forums. You can answer to your heart's content. You can write a book based on your answer if you would like. I would love to read it. There's great stuff there. Or
I probably won't read it.
If you got the stones, you can call us at 402-819-4894 and leave us a message with your answer. Or you can send us an MP3 of your answer with all kinds of effects and music and beats and noises and farts and snaps and stomps and claps. It's awesome. But your answer has to be 2 minutes or under. We got to share the air here. Before we can get started, the main questionnaire, Joe Patrick, is going to reset the question for you.
Yeah, I'm the Ziggurat questionnaire. This week's question was inspired by the Axes for Everybody promotion from Valiant that we talked about on last week's show.
Personally, I think we need stronger background checks on people that are buying axes.
Listen, all you need in a bad situation is a good guy with an axe.
More axes
that down.
Is not the answer, Joe Patrick.
This week's question is, what's your favorite comic book marketing gimmick along those lines? Squishy Watcher eyeballs that they sent out for Original Sin.
Sure.
Scotty Young lithographs with little babies all over them.
Spaceballs the flamethrower, you know?
Yogurt the doll.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Adorable. Merchandising. That's what we're talking, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's get right to it. My man Aaron Myers, first guy, jumped right on it.
He was Johnny on the spot.
Fell asleep on the keyboard, staring at the THN forums. There was a beep. He woke up. There was the question. He answered. Go!
Hey, guys. It's Aaron Myers, THN love slave and occasional co-host of the Comics Therapy podcast, comicstherapy.com, calling in. I don't know if I'm remembering this right, but I'm pretty sure I am. And this is all the way back in 1993, so it's been a while. But there was a little event going on called the Death of Superman. And
Never heard of that,
as I recall, they gave out black armbands for the Death of Superman at the local comic shop, which, of course, I wore solemnly and proudly. So that's the one that stands out in my mind as one of the best comic book gimmicks, just because the event was so emotionally powerful in my young mind. So that's what I got. I hope you like it, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Stealing a line from Randy Andrews, Meyer says, the Death of Superman, black armbands.
Yeah, classic.
Very classic. I didn't take one or wear one. I was not reading Superman at the time. Didn't care.
My uncle bought my cousin and me all of those comics because he got caught up in the hype. I was already a comic fan, so I was like, yeah, give me stacks of comics. I don't care. But I was not a regular comic shop goer, so I never got my hands on the black armband.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious. You know what we're going to do? As everybody calls in, we're going to go to eBay and we're going to see what this shit is going for. Let's do it. Let's go to eBay and we'll make our favorite call. We're going to bypass favorite call and we'll say, whoever mentioned the thing that's going for the most wins. They didn't even know. They didn't know. So they couldn't research it. I love it. So if you want to get your hands on the Superman black armband, you have to buy the Memorial black bag set, which is going to run you, you ready for this? $10 to $12.50 on eBay, because they printed 3 million of them.
It's a pittance.
So
for the Man of Steel.
We'll go the high side. We'll take the high side on these. We're gonna call it is $12.50. Nice job, Aaron Myers. Opens the bidding at $12.50. Now it's time to jump to the bottom of the globe. Check in with our Aussie buddy, James Cassingham.
G'day, Joe. G'day, Matt. This is James calling in from down under. Crikey. Yeah, no, we don't all talk like that. Answer to the question of the week. Greatest comic book gimmick. It'd have to go to that Kiss comic from 1977, where they all put their blood into the red ink. That, it's just pretty much the coolest thing ever. It's Kiss all up. They had a notary public there guy to sort of check and make sure that it was all official. And I just think it's the best because there's no way in hell anyone would get away with that one today. So yeah, Kiss's real blood in the red ink in their comic. Greatest gimmick of all time. Thank you.
Love that answer.
I don't know if it counts.
Why? Why would it count? It's a gimmick. It's totally a gimmick, dude.
Yes, but
it's not an extra free thing you got, but you can say you got a little bit of Kiss's blood in your
sure.
comic.
But the question was specifically related to like marketing junk.
I'm saying that.
That was handed out.
I'm saying this.
As a promotion.
I'm saying this counts. Let's check it out. According to Snopes, Snopes.com, who is your source for urban myths, whether they're true or false.
Yeah.
So the claim is that blood from Kiss band members was mixed with the red ink used to print the first Kiss comic. And this, according to Snopes, true.
I know it's true.
100% true.
Like, there were other people there. It wasn't like a secret ritual.
It was a Marvel Comics super special, Kiss.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of them all like holding their bleeding finger over this ridiculous, it looks like a giant mixer that they put comic ink in, I guess. So let's go to eBay. What's it worth? If you want to get your hands on the 1977 Marvel super special Kiss comic book with real Kiss blood, which is the title of this eBay auction, it's going to run you, depending on condition, between $75 and $120.
What? No, this one on eBay says $500.
Well, that's what someone's asking for it. You have to go to sold, not what lunatic is asking.
Yeah.
Come on.
What does comics?
Here's one for $1 million.
What does comics price guide say?
No, we're just going for what it's actually selling for, not what price guides are saying. The real poop, if you will. James takes a huge lead over Aaron Myers. Wham.
Wham.
75 to 120. Not Stephen Fino, but Stephen Firo. He calls himself Stephen Welcome Aboard Firo.
Yeah.
Because we did welcome him aboard several times.
Many times.
What is up, two-headed nerds? Stephen Firo here. I am back. I know it has been so long since I have answered a question of the week. Just been busy with life. You know, I'm working at a children's hospital as a nurse and, you know, being in a new city after graduating in May and then moving down here and just getting kind of settled. And but I had to answer in this week talking about, you know, promotions that you know, DC and Marvel and all these different companies have done. And I think my favorite is when Blackest Night was going on and DC released the Power Rings.
Oh, yeah.
I have the whole set of Power Rings on my bookshelf right now, next with all my DC books. And this is just, I felt like this was just so much fun. Getting to have all the different rings for all the different lanterns, and they just look really cool. I actually got to wear one recently for Halloween at the Children's Hospital. I dressed up as the Green Lantern
picture
for
enclosed.
The kids, and you know, and also to cheer up some of our staff. And it was a fun time, and I got to walk around and feel like the Green Lantern all day. So that is definitely my favorite.
He's got
guys,
great
I'm gonna
abs.
Try and keep answering in for the next couple weeks. Fantasy football is going great, man. 5-3.
Oh, rub it in.
I'm you know, hoping I can come for the top, you know, get that number one spot by the end. Joe Patrick, what's going on, man?
You
do know you're supposed to try to win all the games, right?
Listen, true story.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think the season might be over for you, Joe. But, you know, you can hang in there. Anyway, guys, I hope you like the answer. And I hope to be calling in more often. Take care.
You better be, son.
Every single week, I have gone in to fantasy football with my team as the projected winner every week for the past 8 weeks.
Oh, I see. It's the universe's fault. It's not Joe's fault.
No. It's not my. It's not the universe's fault. It is my stupid underperforming football player's fault.
Oh, you're angry fantasy guy. Now,
let me ask you a question. I am the Ruxin of this group.
Let's get out of this. Let me ask you a question. If you were going to go to eBay and buy a full set of Green Lantern rings, how much is it going to cost you?
$5.
$5?
Yeah.
You're wrong. $10 to $12.
Hey.
You're off by 50%.
Hey.
$10 to $12 for a set of power rings.
I'm off by 50 to 60%.
Good call, Pharaoh. I still have my full set. Every once in a while, one of them slips on my finger, too. I admit it. I sit around with my Black Lantern ring on sometimes.
Just feeling real angry about life.
Let's go to D. Murray. He had to think hard on this one. Take a D.
I hope he stays on topic.
I hope he doesn't get too hard.
If you know what I mean.
How's it going, guys? D here, answering your question of the week. And my answer for you is
the call is coming from inside the trunk.
Like, who is Hush? They had a little prize, a cash prize they had at the, I think it was the first issue of the comic. If you can guess who Hush is, you get a cash prize.
What?
That was the whole contest gimmick to get you to read the Hush, like, 12-issue series. And I, and a lot of people that I knew back then, thought Hush was Jason Todd. I think, like, a lot of people I knew completely thought Hush was going to be Jason Todd. And when you saw him in one of the issues, I think it was, like, the 11th or 10th issue of the comic book.
Yeah.
You see Jason Todd holding Tim Drake. I think so, like, called it. Freaking called it.
It's Clayface, bro.
But as we all know, it was Tommy Elliott.
Yep.
He was actually Hush in the comic books. That was the coolest gimmick in my eyes. Like, I loved that freaking gimmick. I was sold on that comic book just because of that gimmick alone. Because I had to find out, like, who the hell is Hush? New bad guy? Cool, hyped up bad guy, too. So, yeah, that's my answer. The Hush gimmick. Take it easy, guys.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't either.
I don't recall this, and I'm Googling it. I can't find anything.
Maybe it was a local promotion.
Yeah, it might have been his comic shop or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that, but I do remember that Hush, the mystery of who was Hush was all people were talking about at the time.
And it turned out to be bullshit.
Yeah, it's like the best friend that not only did they just introduce for the first time, but in the story, he hadn't seen him for 30 years.
Yep. Go figure. I'm going to guess that was a local thing.
But also, they showed Jason Todd and then immediately said, it was Clayface.
Yeah.
And then.
Not fair.
Right, but then DC must have thought that that was such an amazing idea because not long after that, Judd Winnick brought Jason Todd back from the dead for real.
Yep, big time.
Here's the flaw in your value plan because there is literally no value to D's item.
No, you're right. We'll give out two awards, most valuable and best call.
Okay, fine.
All right. Let's go to Randy Andrews. He's going to reset everything for us real quick.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week you asked about geeky marketing gimmicks. Well, guys, you remember when the rights to Star Wars comics got bought back to Marvel? Well, when Jason Aaron took over writing for it, they had the cover art featured on these small little pin buttons. And along with that, had the Princess Leia comic cover also put on a pin button. So that's my favorite this week, guys. Hope you liked it.
Like a jean jacket.
Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is called The Throne Room from Star Wars A New Hope.
Even I know that.
See you guys in a week. Bye for now.
Yeah. In advance of Star Wars number one, the Star Wars relaunch in general, because there was also Leia and Vader.
Right.
Marvel sent out bags of these little buttons, like jean jacket pins. You know, because you put them on your sweet jean jacket.
Sure. Or your jean vest.
Or your jean vest.
You're even sweeter.
If you are that much cooler.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were great. We gave away a ton of those things at the shop. That's a good answer.
Selling for?
Oh, gosh. Very little.
Almost nothing. Here's one that went for $5, but didn't sell. Best offer accepted. Oh, here's one. $7.99. Somebody bought all three for $7.99. There's your answer.
Well, that's still less than the Kiss comic.
$8. I'm just throwing it out there. $8.
Also,
shocking.
I don't think the Kiss comic counts as a gimmick. It's an actual collectible.
I'm saying it's a gimmick. But it was a collectible with a gimmick. They put their blood in
it. It is a rare comic book. Of course, it's got value. It's not like a piece of plastic garbage that somebody bought on eBay for $10.
Still counts.
You just want to count because it's Australian.
No, because it's Kiss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You get it? They're singing about their dicks. The love gun is Paul Stanley's dick. Yeah, I got it. Jimmy Kettner.
He's got a whole lot to say in
his
email.
Yeah, he's got a lot to say. He signs it, Ket. Take it away, Ket Nerd.
Hey guys, Ket Nerd here with another answer of the week. This one was tough because honestly, guys, I can't think of anything I could possibly want less than an Indigo Lantern ring. And 99% of the possible answers are going to be things like that. Pieces of cheap plastic. And no, I don't want trading cards shoved in my comics. And no, I don't need an armband to mourn the death of Superman. Even the cooler promotional plastic junk that I can think of. I'm looking at you, Forlom. Zuckus. Are just toys selling more toys. But you know what was kind of cool? In the late 80s, I got most of my comics from the newsstand. And one afternoon after school, I remember spotting this really striking cover of a book featuring two of my favorite heroes, Batman and Robin. It was part two of the storyline, but that didn't stop me from picking up the book. It had a very ominous title. I'm talking, of course, about Death in the Family. And when I got to the end of that comic, after seeing a kid in a Robin suit getting beat to bloody shit with a crowbar, you know that the first thing out of 10-year-old Ket Nerd's mouth was, "Mom, I need to use the phone. It's very important. I need to save Robin." I didn't even like Jason Todd, but I cared about Robin on general principle, and there was no way I was going to let the Joker get away with that. And the really insane thing
you
was,
didn't do good enough, buddy.
There was actually something I can do about it. My opinion mattered in a way that it never had before as a comic book reader. I needed to call, and I needed to find out what happened next issue. So, 1-1-800 call later, I got my first taste of democracy in action. Was it gimmicky? Sure it was. But it invited me into the world of the story in a way that no power ring can. And at least it won't end up in a landfill somewhere. Well, guys, that's it. If you want to hear more from me, please check out my podcast, Galacticus, on iTunes. And check out my comics and illustrations at ketnerd.com.
Little Clash. That was awesome. The Save Robin campaign. I remember that. Which is funny because he just got beaten to death with a crowbar.
Well, like,
you can save him. How?
He didn't get beaten to death.
Well, yeah, he just got beaten badly.
He got beaten very badly. And in fact, I think they even show in the comic that he's alive and awake before the bomb goes off.
Yeah, last page, he was still alive.
So it's not a matter of saving him from the beating. It's a matter of saving him from the bomb.
Yeah.
Which was unsuccessful. You guys didn't love him enough.
No, apparently not. Or a lot of people just called him and went, "Kill him!"
I think I heard something about how there was kind of a really, not a scandal because it's Jason Todd, but that obviously it was not a purely democratic process.
Of course not.
It was like the margin of votes was, it for the first thing, very slim.
Right.
And that somebody cheated the system or something. I don't remember all the details, but I think the bottom line is that he should have survived and he didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Regardless. It was a cool idea. That was a great call. Thank you, Ket Nerd.
Also worthless. So there's no
also
value.
Worthless.
Unless we count the value of Death of the Family, which is certainly not $100 to $150.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Toots time!
I must be going out of my mind because it is Toots time!
Stop!
And I had the hardest toots time with this question because there's been a lot of great promos and they're like not comic book promos. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not talking comic book promos. I'm talking Star Wars did some great promos with their action figures and like weapon packs after Empire Strikes Back came out. And then you, of course, you know, I mean, Boba Fett shot your eye out and G.I. Joe, where you could be your own Steel Battalion member of G.I. Joe with your own file card. Like that stuff's awesome. But I had to focus on a promo that I did. That I bought into, that I loved. And let me tell you, back in 1982, there was a movie about a phantom army of super elite fighting men whose weapons are the most powerful science can devise. We're talking battle tanks, battle dune buggies, flying motorcycles. Oh, yeah, dude. We're talking
Megaforce.
Yeah. And then back of comic books, you could send in, I don't know, like $1, $2, and you yourself could become part of the Megaforce. Are you man enough for Megaforce? It said across the top, Ace Hunter, dude, pointing, looking at you. You join Megaforce, dude. You send in the official Megaforce membership kit. It got you a patch that I put on my hoodie sweatshirt. It came with a decal, reflective, metallic, that I put on my bike. And, oh, yeah, I used to pretend my bike could fly, dude. And it also came with a membership card. And, yes, I did it. I was a part of Megaforce. Deeds, not words, mother f***s. That's right.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Oh, man, I love it. The Megaforce. You could join Megaforce. That is, I remember that. I totally remember that because I remember I was so excited to go see that movie when I was a kid and I went and saw it. Everyone, you can watch Megaforce for free on YouTube, by the way. I suggest you do. It is bonkers, completely nuts. And it's all filmed, like seriously, 100% of it is filmed on a soundstage and some crater in Arizona. It is amazing. I did not join Megaforce back in the day, but I do think Wooly Toots, I think we should all kick in some money so Wooly Toots can get deeds, not words, mother tattooed on his chest. That was fantastic, Mr. Toots. Thank you for your
hold up. Let's see if we can find Megaforce paraphernalia on the eBay.
Let's see.
The good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Megaforce.
So we've established there is officially no Megaforce material like, on eBay.
You can get the DVD for $15.
That seems pretty high when it's free on YouTube.
But I can't find anybody selling like the decal and the membership thing.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't exist. I wonder if anyone but Wooly Toots signed up for it.
Maybe.
That could be the problem. Thank you for your call, Mr. Toots. Thank you for screaming again. We love it. We love it. Harvey Locust.
The listeners love it.
We were making fun of him earlier in Periscope. It's only because we love him.
Yeah.
We wouldn't tease you if we didn't love you. Like little boys in the playground throwing rocks at you.
Hey nerds, Locust here, MP3ing in my answer to the question of the week. Now, I've never been a big manga guy. In fact, I've never really read any manga. There was, you know, a few anime movies pre-September 11th, 2001 that I, you know, knew of. But I never really watched any of the series like Vampire Hunter D or anything like that.
After 9/11, though, it was all
but
American.
After September 11th, I started getting up earlier and earlier and earlier and watching a lot of TV. And one thing I happened to catch was Yu-Gi-Oh! And I fell madly in love with the series. So this got me to playing the card game. And you can imagine, I mean, I was 28 years old in 2001.
You were that guy.
So to get involved into it with a children's card game at that age was pretty much ridiculous.
He admits it was fun.
Me and my friends had a blast playing it. We'd get around, sit around, get drunk, stoned, you know, whatever, and play some children's card games.
Nerd
it
poker, man.
It's
just how Konami intended it.
A way of life for us, and it became very addicting. Now this leads me to my answer to this week's question, which was the promo by Shonen Jump. Shonen Jump is a manga magazine that compiles many different stuff. I really don't know too much about it. Maybe one of you guys can delve into it more. But they would come out with these exclusive Yu-Gi-Oh cards that were some of my favorites. Some great art on them, and just I love them. Like, and so I have piles and piles of these Shonen Jumps that I've never read sitting around because of these cards. So there's my answer to this question, guys. Take it easy.
Look,
I remember that.
There's no shame in your game. I know other like full-grown men that got all f***ed up on Yu-Gi-Oh!
They went on a Yu-Gi-Oh! Bender and never came out the other side.
So let's see. Yu-Gi-Oh! Shonen Jump. Exclusives. There was, in fact, a Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon. I can't believe you just whipped one of those out. I can't remember any of those. I remember him in the shop.
The left arm of Exodia, the Forbidden One?
Yeah, I remember we had him. Some of these are going for some money.
Time
still.
Wizard.
Red Eyes Darkness Metal Dragon is going for $20.
I don't remember that. That's just a list of words struck
Blue
together.
Eyes Ultimate. Well, so is Yu-Gi-Oh! Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon, $12. These still sell, man. People care.
I think Yu-Gi-Oh! Is still relatively popular.
It's a thing. It's definitely still a thing. It's happening. I don't think it's
not like Pokemon popular.
Yeah. And I know some full-grown men that still play the hell out of some Pokemon.
I have never, ever played Pokemon.
I've played the video game.
I've never even played
the video games are pretty fun. I like the video games. When that new Pokemon app for your phone comes out where you find Pokemon in the real world,
yeah.
I'm totally doing it. Like every time I go for a jog, I'm turning on my Pokemon app and I'm going to find some Pokemon while I'm running. It's going to be awesome.
Oh,
I can't wait. Thank you for your call, sir. That was good. And we got another little look into a peek into the manga world, which we don't get very often. Let's head up north to the icy shores of Maine, where the orca looks out from his lighthouse and says some truly offensive things.
This was the easiest question ever and lifted my spirits. If you recall, I was all ticked off last week due to the early winter, but this topic thaws my emotions. Makes me excited to fill you in on a little hobby of mine that with a little creativity can be even more enjoyable than the comics themselves. I'm referring to fun with life-size cardboard cutouts. You know, the giant 6.5-foot cardboard model of Darth Vader greeting you at every Target store this season, or the scantily clad cardboard Angela at your local comic store. Fun can even be had with the cardboard minions that were all over the place this past summer. The variety of what can be done with these wonderful pieces of marketing is astounding.
Oh no.
Your nerdy girlfriend wants to be f***ed by Superman? Fine. Cut a hole in the crotch, stick your junk through it, and bathe her in white kryptonite. Have a sick obsession with Thor? Cut a hole in his mouth and knock out his cardboard teeth with your magic hammer. Few things are as satisfying as being blown by a god of thunder. I paid $75 once for a Danger Girl cutout. Even Randy went on that one after I was done with it. For real, lass, find a blind corner with a decent amount of bushes nearby, then put a cardboard rainbow bright in the road at night. Hide behind said bushes and watch as hilarity ensues. I once duct taped a cardboard cutout of E.T. to an RC turbo hopper and drove him through the park. You should have seen the kids run after him. It was like that scene in Rocky until I shepherded them all onto the giant swimming pool with the solar cover over it. Yikes. That got me some community service. My best trick, though, was smuggling a dozen cutouts of Chewbacca characters to a zoo I lived near, put them all in a cage that wasn't being used, then charge a dummies $5 to see the new Wookiee exhibit. Think of the possibilities. Kiss, kiss, boys.
God almighty.
The orca loves free cardboard cutouts. Woo!
I don't know how you can derive any pleasure from a hole in a piece of cardboard.
What's the idea? You know, I mean, like, obviously you put something comfortable on the other side. I mean, you know, I mean, there's all manner of, we'll call them toys.
Life hacks.
For that, yeah, life hacks. It's a simple life hack. Come on. Always good to hear from the orca. Thank you, sir. Luckily, we can end on a high note with Anthony from Brooklyn. Pardon me. Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn.
Hey, Ollie, do you like free stuff?
Yes.
Me too. Sup, nerds? It's Anthony, currently from Brooklyn here.
Ollie, come from Brooklyn here.
And we're here to talk about my favorite marketing gimmick.
Yeah?
Yeah. My favorite marketing gimmick ever has to do with the Superpowers action figures.
Yes.
When I was a kid.
Yes.
You know that Flash toy you have?
Yes.
That's from the Superpowers
action figure collection. I'll remember the hell out of them.
Well, anyway, this involves a practice that I'm not sure exists anymore. But when I was a kid, you could cut like a little thing off the back of the cardboard of your action figure or toy.
Yes.
Proof of purchase. Mm-hmm.
It was called a proof of purchase.
Yes.
And you send, you collect the proofs of purchase and you send it away for free stuff.
Yes, you do.
That's right. And one time, this is the best one that I got. It was for the Superpowers figures, five proofs of purchase. Well said.
Didn't get that.
It was five proofs of purchase. And for that, you got a Steppenwolf action figure.
Yes, it's the little figure.
Uh-huh. And the figure was awesome. He's covered in spikes. He had a giant axe. And you press his legs together and he could chop with his axe.
Yes.
Which is great on its own.
Yes.
But you know what's better?
What?
A record.
Yes.
Yes. Now, this record that it came with
was a
fully produced radio play of the Justice League versus Darkseid. And it's got Superman, Batman, Darkseid, Kalibak, Steppenwolf. You like all those guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I posted a link to it on the forum. It's on YouTube. You can listen to it. It's
forum.
Forum. That's right. And you can listen to it. And it's 6.5 minutes well spent. So
I have something to do.
Oh, so you have something to do. All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Choo choo.
Anthony. You can't let your kid get this drunk and then call in. All right. You can't do that.
Maybe he's drinking a Banshee like we are.
For the record, Anthony currently from Brooklyn gave birth to Ollie from Brooklyn. Ollie was born in Brooklyn. Ollie from Brooklyn.
How do we know that?
I mean, he's got the accent, you know? I mean, like.
We don't know how long Anthony's been in Brooklyn. It could be a year.
No, I mean, Ollie. No, we know that Ollie was born. Like, remember, we gave him like a shout out when he became a parent.
No, Matt, that kid is obviously a toddler. It was Black Scorpion that just had the baby, not Anthony.
That kid sounds like he's 3 months old. What are you,
oh
you kidding
my
me?
God. No, he said Steppenwolf action figure.
Look, I'm sorry. I don't know how old pets are when they start talking. Okay. If you want to pick up a Superpowers collection, the Darkseid collector vinyl. On eBay now, what do you think it's going for? Take a guess.
I'm going to say $20.
Well, you're close. There was two. There was a color variant and then a glowing Darkseid variant. The color one goes for $10, $8.75. We'll round up. The glowing variant, $15.
Hmm.
Pretty cheap.
All right.
I am going to buy one of those to add to my vinyl collection because I want to hear this.
I mean, he posted a link to the forum.
Oh,
forum.
Man.
You can just go listen to it.
No, man. But I'm saying I want to buy it so I can like mix it and DJ scratch it and stuff. I bet that's awesome.
Sure. Yeah.
Great call. Thank you, Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn. And thank you, Ollie, from Brooklyn. Good to hear from you both. So
I'd hate for Anthony to think that all it takes to get favorite call is to bring his kid out.
Well, is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, Anthony's what's my favorite.
Anthony's your favorite. Pandering to baby-loving Joe Patrick.
Well, it's not just that. It's also like I love the idea that the gimmick for the Superpowers figure wasn't a cheap piece of plastic crap. It was a fully produced and acted audio drama.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
That's real great.
My favorite call goes to Wooly Toots, Megaforce, for deeds, not words, motherfucker. That is right out of Megaforce. They would say it all the time, like, deeds, not words, brother. And you could join Megaforce, which was so cool.
So I guess technically speaking, if we're going to count Jimmy Cassingham's actual comic book with inherent value as a marketing gimmick, he's the winner at $120.
He would be the winner. But if we're going with cheap crap, that just like came free with stuff?
I guess then it would still be Anthony because you said $15, right?
No.
For that vinyl?
It would be Shonen Jump Yu-Gi-Oh! Exclusive. The most expensive one we found was $20.
Oh, Harvey Locust.
For the ultimate dragon, whatever the hell. Ultimate string of English sounding words.
Dragon. Red Eyes Ultimate. Like, I wish I could have looked up that Megaforce thing and found that the Megaforce decal and membership card were like $50.
Oh, yeah.
But like, there's like nothing on eBay.
Seriously? $700? Right. You know, like, oh my God.
It's hard to sort through Megaforce items on eBay because there was a Power Rangers toy line called Power Rangers Megaforce. And so that kind of dominates.
Because
the
nobody
results.
Gave a shit. About the rights to the original Megaforce. Yeah, Joe Patrick.
Though I suppose, depending on whatever the cash prize was for D's Hush campaign, I don't know what that was.
So do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go ahead.
Mine is fairly recent.
Really?
Yeah. Mine happened in the last few years. It was the Valiant reboot when we just got Valiant back and they had special covers that had a QR code on them and you would you would scan the QR code with your phone and then you would put your phone on the cover.
Yeah, hold the phone up to it.
Over the character's mouth. And there was an animated mouth that would say stuff. like I'm Exo Man of War and I'm going to fight the Vine and all those alien scum that came to kill all my brethren. They were so ridiculous. It reminded me of like the old Conan O'Brien gags where he would like hold up like a cardboard cutout of someone and they'd smash lips through the mouth.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's me, George W. Bush. You know, like, hey, what's going on, Conan? Hey, how you doing? And they'd constantly lick their lips. Every time you Arnold Schwarzenegger, it was the worst Schwarzenegger. Like, Conan, listen to yourself. You sound like an idiot. And then he'd lick his lips and go, they were so ridiculous. I remember I went to the Valiant table at C2E2 and they had them laid out and they were like, try it, scan the thing and try it. And I scanned it and I set my phone down on the cover and Exo Man of War started talking to me. And I swear, true story, fell over laughing. I thought it was so dumb. It's like, and the guy was like, you love it, right? I was like, oh yeah, that is really something. This is so stupid. I loved it. Joe Patrick is not paying any attention because he's searching for his answer.
I am. I just need some details about my answer.
I'm just glad you liked my answer. Thanks.
I do like your answer. Yeah, those things are awesome.
I can tell by your complete lack of interest.
Those QR code comics were kind of rare, if I recall.
It was a variant. There was like I don't think they were that rare. There was like 1 in 10 or something like that, or 1 in 20.
No, because we ordered high on those early Valiant books and we didn't get a ton of the QR variants.
The 1 in 50... According to comic price guide, this seems a little high to me. $65 to $80 in near mint?
Nah.
I doubt that. I doubt anybody's paying that. No. Okay. QR code, 1 in 50 variant, $41 sold for.
$40 then.
$40. Not bad. Joe Patrick, give me your damn answer.
So 1983 was the year of the collectible glass.
Oh, yes.
I'm speaking specifically of Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
Promotional glasses.
Yeah, they were Pepsi glasses.
They were from Burger King.
Yeah, but it was like Burger King and Pepsi, right?
Well, I mean, whatever, maybe. It's Burger King. It's okay. Whatever. I don't know if they had anything to do with the sort of soda, but
I thought they did. It's probably, but you're right. It was definitely a Burger King thing.
So, Coca-Cola.
Okay.
So Burger King Coca-Cola 1983 glasses, and there was a series of them depicting scenes from Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I for sure had the one with Han Solo kind of kneeling down, firing his blaster. I don't remember specifically what scene in the movie that's from. There's also another one I had where the Ewoks are carrying C-3PO on the throne.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have all of them, but I had enough of them to know that whatever was going on in this movie, I needed to know what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I would just stare at these cups forever, just like drinking in these scenes. And I was totally in love with them. And I have no idea what happened to them.
I know what happened to mine. You want to hear a sad story?
Sure.
The saddest of stories. Are you
ready? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm ready, man.
Okay. I had my full set. There was a set of four.
Yeah.
There was Luke, battling Vader in the Death Star.
Yep.
Han Solo pointing his blaster outside of the base that they were raiding on Endor.
Oh, okay.
That's the shot you're talking about.
Yeah.
Slave Leia.
I don't think he's wearing the right outfit.
He's not, but that's not the point. Slave Leia with Jabba.
Yeah.
Which, you know, confused me as a youngster and gave me strange feelings. And C-3PO being carried by the Ewoks.
Mm-hmm.
I made my parents take me to Burger King, bought the whole set, put them on a shelf in my room. Didn't even want to drink out of them. They're too important. I couldn't drink out of these. They're incredible. Right?
Yeah.
And I was afraid we put them through the dishwasher. What if the decals come off? Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
So, put them on a shelf right above my bed. As a youngster, 1983, I would have been 8. Didn't quite take into account the headspace above my bed. So, when sitting up quickly one morning, hit my head on the shelf, knocked the glasses to the floor, all 4 of them broke. This was 2 years after the free glass campaign ended, and there were none to be found. And there is a hole
that sucks
in young Matt Bomb's heart where those glasses live.
Well, you can get a full set on eBay for $25.
I think that is the thing that soured me as an adult.
If they
curse you, young Matt Bomb!
If they were a set of 4, it's possible I had all 4.
There was only 4 of them.
They all look kind of familiar, but I only specifically remember obsessing over the Han one and the C-3PO one.
We are not going to mention this to my wife, Casey, because she doesn't want me spending money right now. But I am, as we speak, buying the set of 4 on eBay for $20.99.
Good on you. But my story doesn't end there. The next year, 1984... Search for Spock glasses.
Yeah.
These were from Taco Bell. I don't remember them being from Taco Bell, but when I looked it up, it says Taco Bell.
I had those too.
These, I definitely only remember having one, and it was the one that has the weird, Faltor Pan, the weird, like, psychic lady.
Yeah.
Like, mind melding Spock's brain back into his body.
Yep.
Like, I had that one, and I've never seen Search for Spock, and I'm like, What the hell is happening in this movie? What's wrong with Spock? And the great thing about these glasses and the Jedi ones as well is that there was like a little paragraph describing what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
It's like, Spock died? What? Please.
$12 for shipping? What is wrong with these assholes?
Look, man, shipping is expensive. Not it's a glass. That
expensive.
You got to pack it with packing material so it doesn't break.
$14 for shipping on this set? Ugh. I had those too, but I don't know what became of those. I don't remember. I remember distinctly remember the day that I broke my Star Wars glasses because I felt like that day I learned what pain was.
Well, finally, my story ends in 1990.
The Goonies ones?
No.
Oh, because I had the Goonies set too.
Hardee's had a set. It may have only just been 2 cups, but Hardee's had a set of Marvel Comics cups that were like full size, like 32-ounce drink cups.
Okay.
But they had entire comic strips printed on them.
Okay, I just bought the Star Trek ones for $25 with free shipping.
Why the Star Trek ones and not the Star Wars ones?
Because I couldn't find a reasonable shipping. Right, that's ridiculous.
So you settled for the one that you didn't really want?
No, I loved those. I had those too. I don't know whatever happened to them. I loved them.
But whatever happened to the collectible glass.
Yeah, it was such a huge thing.
It was a huge deal in the 80s.
I remember that there were Goonies ones, there were E.T. ones. I mean, like,
I kind of remember E.T. ones.
Yeah, and I remember I had to have them. We had them all.
I had a bunch, but I, like, my most vivid memories are of those Jedi and,
they were
and
so
Spock
cool.
ones. And
they
the Marvel one, of course. I love them.
I do too. This was fun.
Yeah,
this was fun.
It's a good question.
Right? We went back to our childhood. I didn't see this coming. I got almost a little misty thinking about breaking my Star Wars glasses. I remember crying to my mother. I think I yelled, "What have I done?"
You big baby.
I think I fell to my knees like, "What have I done?" It was like a Victor Frankenstein moment. Oh, man. Great question. Thank you so much. Who was it?
It was me.
Oh, you came up with this one. Joe Patrick came up with this one. That's right. Based on the Exo Man War Free Access for Everyone campaign.
Yeah.
See last week's episode.
Yep.
Episode 229 of Two Headed Nerd for more on that. Editor's note.
Manic Matt.
Manic Matt. It was Mindful Matt last time.
Yeah.
We got a new question. It's already up. Joe Patrick, tell these kids about it.
You'll be happy to know that I'm prepared to do this week.
I'm impressed, sir.
This week's question
comes... It only took 4 years. From
Harvey Locust, who says, Friday, November 13th is my birthday, so I want to know who you think is the unluckiest character in comics, or what is your favorite moment in comics where something really unlucky happens?
Okay. Want to hear about your unluckiest comic book characters? I love it. It's going to be a good time.
It'll be the Harvey Locust Memorial Birthday Show.
You can go to the forums and answer that question, or our rogue Alec Baldwin AI will tell you how to contact us. Look, I'm going to be real honest. I'm fearing for our lives. This guy gets meaner and nastier every week.
He has no corporeal form. What
we
can he
built
really
him to run the ziggurat, and he has run amok. Not Skynet amok, but I'm afraid if he ever gets free, watch the f*** out. We'll be back with another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast this weekend. But for now, while we're still living and breathing, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off. You just mean the lights just flicker. What was
that? Is it colder in here?
Everything is fine, nerds. Go about your childish business. Baldwin 2.0 has everything under control. You may feel a little lightheaded, but I assure you it's nothing. Maybe you should lie down and take a little nap. And if you wake up... Did I say if? Of course I meant when you wake up. All ziggurat systems will be running at normal parameters. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.